CliffCentral.com.
So I want to get the guys from the Renegade Report in here because we've got to talk about what happened over the weekend. I think something extraordinary and something worth celebrating. A lot of people, for some reason, are very angry about this. So we need to look into it and figure out exactly what the hell happened here. It's very confusing. No good deed goes unpunished. That's what Christopher Hitchens, one of my favorite writers, always used to say. We'll find out whether it's true or not. So, welcome to the studio this morning, the hosts of the Renegade Report, Omar and Jonathan. Good morning, gentlemen. How morning. Are we?
Good morning, Gareth. Are you well?
I'm good, 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 good. You had a busy weekend?
Slightly.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, typical weekend for your average right-wing racist rape apologist bigot.
Is that what you're being called?
Yeah, that's amongst them.
Really?
Yeah.
And what did you do to deserve this title?
I haven't given back the land, apparently, Gareth.
Oh, is that the problem?
Mm.
What land? How much do you own?
None.
You don't have any land, so why haven't you given it back?
Like I said, I'm all those labels.
What's wrong with you? Don't you understand? The left are obviously right here. Your pardon.
Well, they quite obviously are very right. We actually can't tell the difference between the people on the left
and
the right.
No, because they have swapped places, actually. And now you have... Anyway, we'll get into that later. Tell me how this whole thing happened, guys. What happened? We heard on, I think it was Friday, about this guy from Roads Must Fall.
Yeah, I think what's important to understand
and
you know, is that we didn't go out seeking anything. This wasn't a crusade. This guy goes to a restaurant. He does something that, frankly, none of us would have known about. He then posted on Twitter, on Facebook, and says, you know, he's proud of this. He's proud of this incident that happened, which, frankly, is just a very demeaning, horrible incident to another human being who happens to be a person that you would think a guy like this who's standing up for the oppressed would be protecting, because she's a
worker,
low-income worker. That's what she is. But she happened to be white, and so he made a joke about giving back the land on the tip and posted it to Facebook.
So he was making a joke, or was he making a political statement?
Well, both, I think. But it was very funny to him, and he posted on Facebook. The truth is if he hadn't done that...
But hang on, what happened? So he says on the bill, we will pay this bill when...
We'll give you a tip when you pay back the land, when you give back the land.
Okay, and then what did she do?
And the waitress apparently got quite upset. Ramon might have a few more details in that. She was quite upset about it. She cried or whatever it was. It sounds like the restaurant handled it quite well. They kind of came up to them and said, look, guys, there's no need for that. You know, it's not necessary. To which the guys at the table apparently said, well, bugger off, we'll do as we please.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing seems to have happened further at the restaurant after
they behaved that. Like Paris Hilton's brother did on that plane.
Yeah.
Like entitled, rich, spoilt, bourgeois elites. Okay.
Well, yes.
And then what happened?
So on Friday evening, the guest last week, Sihle, went to
Cafe. Yeah.
He went to the restaurant and he gave the waitress 50 rand tip out of his own volition. And Jonathan and I saw this and we spoke to Sihle after the fact. Said, why don't we just raise a bit of cash for her?
You didn't know, you like a couple of hundred rand.
Yeah, we thought a few of us would pitch in and get her, you know, 500 rand tip.
Sure.
So, yeah, maybe 1,000 rand if people were generous. So I just posted banking details online on Twitter. On my account, and then tips started flying in.
And it spread like wildfire. I mean, Brent Lindeke was telling me yesterday, he put the story up on the Good Things Guy site, his site, yesterday, and he's had like 200,000 hits from all over the world, people reading about this story, that thought it was really nice that you guys took a bad situation and you tried to make it good by making this lady's life a little bit easier. You didn't do it because she was white or because she was working class or any of that stuff, right?
Well, no. We just wanted to help someone in need. The horror.
And also show up that there isn't necessarily moral high ground on the left.
Yeah,
be honest.
I mean, we've known that for a long time.
Sure. I have to be honest. The campaign started as nothing political, nothing to make a statement. We were just kind of, well, something horrible happened to another human being.
And when Sihle went to the restaurant, he wasn't trying to get points because he didn't even tell anybody about it.
No, Sihle doesn't really try to get points. I mean, he He happens to be part of a political party. He doesn't really use that as a calling card. He's very downplayed in terms of his views in that regard. He's open to people. It was just he went along to console someone. He actually did that. He met the waitress. He spoke to her. He apologized to her for the abuse she had suffered.
All right. So whatever happened, whatever intentions were at play here, and let's imagine that they're all good because the result can only be good. No one has lost anything from this in the end. This young lady has gained some support from a whole lot of people and some money from a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
But hang on, before we even move on, you guys then obviously thought, okay, well, that's nice. We've raised some money. Nothing bad can come of this. We've done something nice. What happened after that?
Well, look, Gareth, I mean, it needs to be said that much as it was done with no intention, we're not fans of Roads Must Fall. Our first episode of our show was Roads Must Fall, essentially why they're fascists. We had an hour-long show about that. So I think it would be disingenuous to say we weren't aware of the people involved. And halfway, well, when we had 1,000 Rand, nobody cared. And when we had 5,000 Rand, nobody cared. 10,000 Rand, nobody cared. 20,000 Rand, Roads Must Fall kind of got involved. And there was a lot of back and forth.
What do you mean in terms of them on social media?
Yeah, social media, essentially. You know, essentially it came down to this is just white privilege and something about white tears and
yeah, something about white people looking out for each other and not looking out for oppressed black people. That was a theme.
So in other words, what you're doing may be nice, but you aren't nice enough to do this for everybody, therefore you're horrible.
Yes, because I'm a professional fundraiser at heart. We all know I don't have a job, I don't have a podcast, I don't have a family. All I do is raise funds for white people, of course.
Try not to be sarcastic here, because sarcasm doesn't always get understood terribly well by the left.
Oh, yes, I forgot.
So try to be absolutely literal, otherwise they are going to misinterpret you.
So literally, we helped out a woman in need.
Yeah. And this got you a huge amount of opprobrium and hatred.
Indeed. From self-described feminists, from self-described critical race theorists, from those people who talk about structural oppression in every walks of life. Yep. You know, this was a terrible thing to help a working class woman.
And if you want to talk about intersectionality, this woman is oppressed in every level except for her race. So this concept of finding the victim, who the biggest victim is, and constantly chasing it by the social justice warriors. Well, here's a woman who is. She is. She doesn't have a home. Her mother's dying of a disease they can do nothing for. She works a minimum wage job just to get by.
Well, two of them.
You know, as it happens, as far as I understand, her sexual preference happens to suit their needs as well, because she happens to be a lesbian woman. So, frankly, on any other day of the week, these people side with this woman. They see commonality in her.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, suddenly it was a bad thing.
No, but it was only a bad thing because we did it.
Yeah.
Only because we did it. If it was... If the races were reversed in the incident, no one would care. If Mabale and her friend started this, no one would care either. The fact that two white, cisgendered, etc. men started this campaign, that was the problem.
All right. Well, you're bad people and you should feel bad about what you've done. How dare you help a person?
What's wrong with you?
I could have told you this would happen.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. The hatred has been something else.
Much. Well, I've done a lot on Twitter. I've got a bit of a reputation. I don't, you know.
You've been called a troll.
I don't pull any punches on Twitter. I've never received as much hate as I've received over the past 2 days.
I just want to say that the donations were made by people from all over this country, of all different race groups and backgrounds, from all over the world. There's a GoFundMe campaign, which we didn't start, which ended up fundraising more than $5,000. Is the tip amount huge and what much more than it would have been? Sure. But that's really not the point at all. And it's just the sort of bigotry that we've received. And I have to say, both sides. And here's the other thing. When Roads Must Fall, we invited them on our show. We're recording our show, which will be released tonight. We were invited on the show today.
You're also speaking to this waitress, right?
Yeah, yes. We'll be speaking to her. The first thing they said was, all right, we'll come on the show if you give us some of the money. So we were like, well, we can't do that even if we wanted to, because people gave for a certain cause. Well, so giving it anywhere else.
It's not
else,
your money.
It's called fraud.
It's called fraud, yeah. So you can't do that. You know, those are the sort of things. So then we said, all right, well, they said, well, you won't help black people. You're only helping this woman because she's white. So we were like, we will. So they were like, oh, we'll help this student at UCT. And they give us details of a student who's behind in their fees. So we posted, and a whole bunch of the people who gave to the waitress gave to the student. But we're still evil.
And they matched their donations. So if they gave 300 rand to the waitress, they gave 300 rand to that fund for the student.
But you're still bad.
Oh, absolutely. No, I can't be sarcastic. Listen.
Try not to be ironical or sarcastic at all in this sense, because it will just get you into trouble.
That's difficult. Yeah. Listen, we did, I think, well, not us. I'd sent out a few tweets. Jonathan sent out a few tweets. Mm. People all over the world did a wonderful thing here.
How much money was raised in the end?
For our campaign, we got 44,777 rand.
And 70 cents.
And 70 cents in 45 hours. Because we ended it at 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Very impressive. I think that's praiseworthy behavior. You are standing up for good manners, first and foremost, and for civilized behavior. You're standing up for people treating each other with respect, and it's got nothing to do with where your political leanings are or where their political leanings are. And in this case, this is a young lady who is – how many of us have seen powerful people exacting nastiness on people who are less powerful than they are?
All the time.
I'm going to Skype quickly. Barry's on the line. I think he wants to talk about this too. And you can call us on 0861-555-189. I don't want to go on too long about this. I just wanted you guys to tell your story. Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. So I'm driving, so just let me know if you can't hear me all right.
We can hear you perfectly.
Jonathan Roman. Thank you, guys. Jonathan Roman, I think, Roman, you just mentioned that if somebody like Mabali started a similar crowdsourcing, you know, fundraising campaign, that nobody would think about it. But I disagree with you, and to some extent, because I believe that, you know, what I saw and on the outlash and the backlash about what you guys did, it just seems like South Africans in general, you know, don't like it that people, you know, give a shit that doesn't suit them. I don't know if I'm putting this across correctly. I mean, I'm of the view that had you guys, had Mabali did something like this, and it would have gotten to the levels of the money it did, whether it be for a white or a black or Indian or any other color kind of person, it would have been a case of, yeah, you know, look, here's now somebody black who's got some kind of guilt towards another race doing something, and it's too much.
In other words, you're saying we all hate each other so much we can't get past that.
No, I think so. It's just like we almost... it's almost like we get a joy out of seeing somebody fail, and then when somebody like, you know, Roman and Jonathan stay about to do something, that's also wrong.
Yeah, the line's breaking up quite badly, but let's hear what the guys say. Yeah? Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I mean, that was the attacks on Sikh there over the weekend was that, right? They called him...
And it's continuing.
Yeah, they called him a house N-word. I will be polite. They called him Uncle Tom. They kept asking for money for other causes that affects black people.
Well, the whataboutery is just exceptional. It's just quite exceptional. I mean, you know, it's you've raised for this, so now we're going to find someone who said something bad somewhere else and ask you to raise for that. It's just...
I mean, they've dredged up a Facebook guy, Matthew Tiennison, who had something horrible to say about Fikile. And
he's a bigot. Let's not put that aside.
No, but he's a complete arsehole. But they kept putting that screenshot. They kept sending it to us, to Renegade Report. They said, oh, why don't you, you know, raise funds for this guy? Why you tell your guy to, you know, calm down.
He's one of your guys.
Yeah, rein your people in. I have no idea who he is whatsoever.
Well, guys, all I can say, well done. I think you did the right thing. I think that there are very few people who could have a problem with this and maintain any kind of moral, ethical supremacy on the issue, or certainly even equity, let alone supremacy. I'm furious about this because, again, it seems that there is this false equivalency going on, that there's a cognitive dissonance between what people are saying and what they stand for and what they're doing. It seems that when something good happens, it can never be called good unless it comes from a certain group of people. It can never be called bad unless it comes from another group of people. And it works both ways. But to these people, it's also totally the responsibility of others to make the world a better place, and totally their responsibility to bitch about how it isn't fair. You know, we celebrated 2 years of CliffCentral.com on May the 1st, and May the 1st used to be called May Day, which is traditionally the most important date on the calendar for communists and socialists the world over. And we'll deal with socialism one day, but it's entirely accurate, and I've yet to find an argument to the contrary, to say that there is no part of the world at any time in human history where socialism has ever resulted in anything but misery, suffering, oppression, and all the other things for ordinary people that are not terribly pleasant. If you think bread lines are okay, then you and I can't agree. Anything from radical communism to liberal democracy means you're on the left, this is traditionally, and on the right, anything from reactionary fascism right the way through to conservatism used to be called the right. Today, I want to talk about how all of that has changed and how your freedom of expression is under threat, not from the right wing, but from the left wing, the regressive left wing. I'm a socially liberal guy. I believe that you should be able to put anything you want into your body. If you like smoking weed, if you like having sex with women, if you like having sex with men, if you like doing things that other people would consider morally or ethically reprehensible, as long as you do that to yourself and you don't hurt other people, you should be able to do it. I'm a social liberal. You should be able to decide what you do with your house, who you associate with, what you spend your money on, what you spend your businesses doing. These days, the most educated, free-thinking people in the world would probably agree with that. You should be in charge of your own life. There are some people who think that your thoughts should be policed. There are some people who think that your language should be policed. There are people who occupy what they perceive to be the moral high ground, and they will shout you down when you say things that they don't like. They should decide what books you read. They should decide what's acceptable coverage in the news, which points of view are allowed in public, and they call that free speech, by the way. And they call what you're saying hate speech if you disagree with them. I'll call it what it is. It's fascism. These are totalitarian fascists, and they're on the left. They're not on the right of the political spectrum. They're communists, feminists, black supremacists, anarcho-capitalists, whatever the hell that means. And they're destructive, divisive, oppressive, and they're just wrong. These people used to be in lunatic asylums, and they used to have book clubs. But now they're in academia, they're in the mainstream media, you'll find them in the highest rungs of the political class. Their weapons are things called feelings, trigger words, microaggressions, outrage. They prefer not to debate things sensibly or civilly, like we would here now. They're always shrill, they're always hysterical, they've invented an entire lexicon of non-existent prejudices in order to occupy what they think is the moral high ground. What has become mainstream in the media is to let these people talk to us in rhetorical, nonsensical terms and to go unchallenged. Well, it's not going to happen anymore. What they're peddling is bullshit, and I'm going to do here everything I can to stop this bullying, stultifying, regressive nonsense. And I want to send it back to the ridiculous university safe spaces it comes from. I'm going to mock and ridicule and cajole and tease these social justice warriors out of their safe spaces and into places where their vapid ideas can be challenged with evidence, with facts, with adult temperament. And if they won't come, then we'll just move on into the future without them. There is not widespread racism. Most people just want to get on with their lives. Colonialism isn't the most important thing that happened in Africa. Post-colonial governments abused their people just as much. There is no such thing in the mainstream as rape culture. Not in the sense that young men who use the word bitch on campus are an affront to female equality. We've moved beyond that. Rhodes falling was just a proxy, in many cases, for some of the protesters, for white people, and a stupid, vacuous victory for a hysterical mob that won absolutely nothing in return except to cow the frightened professors of that shuddering institution into submission. The social justice warriors that bullied Mnet into firing me in January forced me to go to court to expose that I had said nothing racist or dangerous at all. All I'd said is I believe in freedom of speech, and that I was prepared to defend that right in court. The enemy of the social justice warrior is a person who isn't self-flagellating, a woman who isn't a victim of some evil patriarchal conspiracy. To a social justice warrior, that is heresy. All white people are evil. All women are victims. If a woman doesn't think she's a victim, then she's internalized that misogyny. She just doesn't know any better. So she needs a social justice warrior to speak on her behalf. Likewise, if you're a black person who doesn't toe the line exactly and stick to black collectivism, even when you disagree with that as an individual, then you must be an Uncle Tom or a house nigger. By these hate groups, that's the kind of thing you'll be called. They see race as nothing more than a political prop and as a monolith with which to lump you into a bunch of intrinsic characteristics that might not even apply to you. I'll quote C.S. Lewis, which I don't do very often. He said, "Of all tyrannies, a tyrannical society, sincerely exercised for the good of its victims, may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But for those who torment us for our own good, they will torment us without end, and they'll do so with the approval of their own conscience. We're sick of being lied to by people who tell us only stories that support a rickety agenda. Scurrilous white sycophants who cozy up to the most insane radical black leaders in an attempt to deal with a preponderance of white guilt on their part. We see through you and they see through you. The soft bigotry of low expectations is the most racist thing of all. And no one could even concoct this. It does anti-racism no good. We're tired of moralizing unfunny comedians like Conrad Koch, whose arguments are so brittle that he has to voice them through the blandest puppet ever brought onto a stage. We're tired of boring journalists like ENCA's Nicholas Bauer telling us about the elite and the middle class that he's clearly part of, with disingenuous self-loathing that can only qualify as lying. I'm tired of running into people on social media like Gillian Schutter, who I encountered the other day for the first time, an aging, unspectacular white leftist zealot who describes any opinion other than hers as violence against her. Get a grip, honey. No one's even interested in violence with you. The Roads Must Fall movement, so bereft of any kind of morality that they now boast online about terrorizing a racist and then attack the people who try to help her. Well, not a racist in this case, just an ordinary young girl. That's not just bad manners, it's uncivilized. We're tired of hearing the left throwing words like misogynist and racist and bigot around like confetti at anyone who disagrees with their narrow agenda. Don't you realize you're making these words less powerful? And there's a place for these words. There is real racism. There is real misogyny. We need to address this at the people who are the most guilty of it. But you're watering it down to the extent now where it's become a word that is having less and less meaning every time you throw it at people. I am tired of everybody who says that we're not individuals, that we must be black, or we must be white, or we must be men, we must be women, we must be straight, we must be gay, we must be transgender. And our only usefulness to these leftists is in complying with those stereotypical boxes that they want to shove us into. If you think that political correctness has gone mad, if you think that it's time that someone stood up to this crazy clutch of social justice warriors, that time needs to be now. That person needs to be you. And we're going to drag bad ideas into the spotlight and expose them for all their flaws, all their fallacies. I won't stop until every single rubbish idea has been smashed and sense has prevailed. This will be a place where free speech will be tolerated, even stupid speech, until we can figure out which really is which, by evidence, by argument, and by fact, not by the feelings and the fascism of some fat, entitled, ranting social justice warrior. The best thing I have learnt about these people is that when you say these magic words, go fuck yourself to them, nothing really bad happens. Is it on the line or on Skype, Flax? Okay, let me go to the phone lines. You can tell I'm angry about this, right? Just a little. Sean, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm foaming at the mouth a little bit. I'm so much pissed off with this whole waitress story and whatnot. Honestly, I think, South Africans is as selfish as the government they voted for. It's always a case of passing the bucket along. Blame someone else. These guys did something really, really great. And if it worked and it did work and I'm happy for them, these guys that are complaining and moaning and groaning about, white privilege and blah, blah, blah. You know what? That's all free and well. I don't mind that. The issue is stop complaining and find a cause and then use some of your own money like these guys did and do something about it. But there's nothing good that's going to come of you complaining, so I hope these folks are actually listening. There's no use in you complaining. You're not going to get anything right besides make someone else think twice before they do something good for anyone, because there'll always be a fucking backlash.
All right. Listen, man, thank you for the call. All right, we're done with this. I'm done. I've said what I needed to say. We're going to move on. We've got an interesting guest coming up in a short while. Thanks to the guys from the Renegade Report for doing what they did and for coming in to speak to us about it this morning. You can hear a new episode of that, and you can hear from the woman in question, the waitress at this OBS Cafe where the whole thing started. You can find out from the horse's mouth how the whole thing unfolded. I've said my say. You can listen this evening at 6 o'clock when it goes online. The Renegade Report, our newest and it seems most controversial show. Yeah, thank you guys. More controversy, it's all we need.
Thanks, Gareth.
All right, get out of here. All right, yeah, get out of here. Get out of my studio. All right. All right, it's 13 after 8, cliffcentral.com. Tuesday morning. cliffcentral.com.